I wanted to talk about hope this morning, about two kinds of hope. There is the hope that we express daily, and then there's the hope that God expresses to us. And none of this will be very new to you, I'm sure, but we need hope, don't we? In our world, in our civilization, in our times today, we need hope. Because the world would tell us that there isn't any of that. The world would tell us, you know, you live, you die, and that's it. But God would tell us something different. So, what are you hoping for today? As you came in this morning, were you hoping for anything? Were you hoping that there wasn't any ice on the road? Some of you were hoping that there was ice on the road so you wouldn't have to come to church. You're hoping that Pastor Dave will keep it short so you can beat the Presbyterians to the buffet. Over at Golden Corral. I'm sure that's part of it. Thank you for laughing. First service, they didn't get it. Were any of you hoping last night that the trees would stay upright? I was. I have these scary silver maples, and they're about 85 feet high in my yard. And every time the wind blows, I pray like crazy. So far, so good, and we praise the Lord for that. But we hope for a lot, don't we? We hope for good grades. I hope the teacher overlooks that mistake. We hope for toys. You know, I need that car. I've got to get that. Man, everybody else has an iPhone 46. I've got to get one too. You know, we hope for things. And where does that leave us usually? I don't know about you, but it leaves me sort of empty. Because I hope for things, and sometimes I get them, which is great. But then whatever I get, that's not enough. I have to get more. You know, I got that. Well, let's go to the next step. And that's sort of human nature. And that's why we find so many difficulties with materialism, with addictions. Because no matter what we have, it isn't enough. We have to get more. And that's a worldly hope. That's a selfish kind of hope. And that's the first hope I want to touch on. And then we'll talk about the second hope because that's a whole lot better. But the first definition of hope is to wish for, to expect, but to have no certainty of fulfillment. To desire very much, but have no assurance of getting your desire. And not able to control the results. I hoped that the trees wouldn't fall. I sure couldn't control that. I could stand outside and lean against them, but that wouldn't do much good, would it? But I hoped they would stay upright. And you're hoping this will be short, and you don't have any control over that either. We've locked the doors from the outside, so you're here. Not really, no. But this is the kind of hope we have, isn't it? Our selfish, sort of worldly kind of hope. And it's sort of like daydreaming. It's okay. You know, there's nothing wrong with hoping for things. But there is a so far better hope for us. One that we need to concentrate on. One that we need to cling to. One that we need to really get involved in. You see, this is sort of an intensive week. Not only what we've prayed for, but... And I use personal stories a lot, and I apologize for that, but I use them because I know what happened, and I was there. 6 years ago this week, Karen passed away. My wife of 40 years passed away. And she had gone to the hospital time and time and time again, just had pushed through so many things, and had always come out victorious. She'd gone through everything from rheumatoid arthritis to cancer to things I can't pronounce. And Saturday, the 14th of April, correspond. That's why this is sort of gets to me, because this is one of those years where the days and the dates are the same. Saturday, the 14th, she was experiencing the start of another septic infection. So we got her to the hospital and got things going, and they said, I think we've got it under control. Sunday the 15th of April, they said, hey, I think she'll be going home on Tuesday. Things are looking good. Monday the 16th, I got called at about 4 in the morning. We have a little problem going on. She's having difficulty breathing. Could you come and sort of be with her? Tuesday the 17th, breathing got worse and they went to high volume oxygen. Wednesday the 18th, everything crashed. Vital organs just said, we've had enough, and shut down. Put her on life support. Thursday the 19th, I could almost see this. You know, I'm not some kind of psychic or anything, but I could almost see Jesus coming to get her. And he took her home on that day. And so this week sort of gets to me when the dates and days are all sort of the same. And I think back to the hopes that I had then. I hoped, I desired, I expected that it would be just another one of those infections. She'd get better, everything would be great. We'd go home, have some more years together. Planned on retiring. Planned on taking our little RV and our little pontoon boat and our little dog and just going anywhere we wanted to go. Me, 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 I. That's what I wanted. That's what I hoped for. And when it didn't come to pass and the Lord took her home, I was devastated and I was angry and I said, why, Lord? And this is the God I serve, whom I know in Isaiah 55, I believe it is, says, my ways are not your ways and your thoughts are not my thoughts, declares the Lord. This is the same God who I was supposedly worshiping, who I was angry at because I didn't want him to have his way. I wanted to have my way. And that's what worldly selfish hope is all about. It was all about me and what I wanted. Karen got the best gift anyone could ever give. He gave her the most amazing gift, the everlasting life in his presence. Fulfillment of the definition of hope we're going to look at in just a moment. He gave her everything. And why am I mad? Why am I upset? Why am I devastated? Why am I angry at God? She, for the first time since 1976, was able to be totally unencumbered and to run and leap and praise the Lord, I'm sure. To play the Steinway in heaven. Because we know that if heaven has pianos, it's got to be Steinway. You know, and here I am with my selfish hope saying it should be different, Lord. But he said, no, this is time. This is the time. And this is the moment. And I will fill your longing and I will fill the holes in your heart with a new hope, with a new song. May take a while, but I will fill them. I felt totally he communicated that to me through his word and through my times of asking forgiveness for how I acted and how I thought. So let's look at what the second definition of hope is all about. And I hope that you will see in this something much deeper, something much more precious. Something a whole lot better than anything we can hope for out of our own human nature, out of our selfish desires. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with the third verse, we'll read through the ninth verse. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by the fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. A living hope, Peter says that we have. God says that we have a strong, confident expectation that God's word is true and his promises are real. Do you believe that this morning? Is his word true? Are his promises real? If that's correct in your life, if that's what you believe today, then you have the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and an inheritance that will never perish. Anybody ever received an inheritance here? Yeah, I've received a couple. I got all excited when they told me I was in someone's will and, $15.92 later, I wasn't that excited. But that's the inheritance we think of. This inheritance is eternal life, is salvation. This inheritance is everything that you would ever need for eternity. What an awesome inheritance that is. No taxes either. Just an inheritance. So I want to concentrate on the second definition of hope. The hope that comes from believing in God's word and knowing that we have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ into an inheritance that will never perish, kept in heaven for you. You know, God is saving for you a space. Isn't that cool? Kept in heaven for you. Wow. He would love me, despite who I am, so much that he says, I have a place for you right here. It's all reserved. Nobody else's place. It's yours. We used to kid that the Baptists among us, which are all of us maybe, had a special place in heaven because we didn't think anyone else was there. So we were sort of secluded. But that's not the case. He says, I have a place kept in heaven, an inheritance kept in heaven for you. Insert your own name right there. That just blows me away. What an awesome, awesome gift from God. There are two characteristics of hope that we see in the passage here. First of all, hope is about the future, isn't it? Hope doesn't deal with the past. Hope deals with what's ahead. And Peter reminds us of what's ahead for us. We are shielded by God's faith until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed. You know, we have that salvation and he is protecting us. We are shielded by him as we look forward to that time. And we greatly rejoice in that, even though we go through weird stuff here, through grieving kind of things, through rough times. We can look forward, Peter says. We can look forward, and that's what hope is all about in the Lord. We can look forward to the future and be absolutely assured that our future is secure in him. What an amazing thing hope is in the Lord. Hope deals with things we can't see or haven't yet fully received, or both. Peter says, even though you don't see him, you know, you don't see him now, but you believe in him and you love him. Speaking of Jesus. We can't see, you know, we can't see God. We can't see Jesus. We can't see the Holy Spirit, but in the hope that is given by him and his word and by his promises, we can be absolutely 100% certain that he is who he says he is. And we have what he says we have. And we will be where he says we will be. The inheritance given by God. And Romans 8 talks about that a little bit from Paul. You don't have to look all these up. I cheated and marked everything, so I'd get to it quickly. So. But in Romans 8, verse 24, Paul says, for in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Waiting, hoping, knowing, assured that God is who he says he is. Hope is a confident expectation, a sure certainty that what God has promised is true and will occur in our lives in accordance with his will. And that's a big difference. our hope on this earth often doesn't occur in our lives, does it? We hope for things knowing we probably won't get them. Sort of a daydreaming kind of situation. But God's hope, biblical hope, godly hope, we will know that what He has promised will occur in our lives in accordance with His will. And that's an important thing to remember this morning. You know, the two big words are His will. What He wants for us in life. Not what we want, but what He wants for us. Worldly hope is often an escape from reality or problems. Biblical hope is a reliance on the reality of God's promises. So hope in God has a few things. First of all, it has results. When we hope in the Lord, when we have that ever-living hope that comes through Jesus Christ, that changes how we see ourselves. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Man, I can identify with that. I had so much sin in my life. If I were God, I would have thrown me out. You know, I just say, forget it. There's nothing we can do with you. See ya. Bye. Someday, if you have 12 or 14 hours, I'll tell you the whole story. But yet, once I realized that despite everything, despite what I did with my life, when I sought forgiveness and repentance from the Lord, He made me change how I see myself. I am no longer a worthless sinner. I'm still a sinner. I do that, you know, frequently, unfortunately. But He sees in me worth. He sees in me someone that He would be okay to die for and to rise again to give eternal life. And He sees that in every one of you. Why are you cast down, my spirit? Why are you cast down within me? There's no reason to be. Because the Lord loves you so much that He values you so much that He would give His life for you and you alone. So holy hope, godly hope, changes how we see ourselves. I'm a precious child of the King. We are all precious children of the King. That should make you feel pretty awesome about how God feels about you. Second, it changes our values. I was pretty doggone earthly minded for many, many years. Most of them, as a matter of fact. You know, I needed things. The old saying is the one who dies with the most toys wins. You know, and I was looking for toys. I was looking for anything that would make me feel better. And I tried to find all of my assurance. I tried to find all of my love. I tried to find all of my value from earthly things. And guess what? It all rotted away. It all rusted away. It all corroded away. And when I was so low that I had to look up to see the worms, then the Lord said, okay, now I can do something with you. And as Psalm 40 says, He dragged me up out of the slimy pit and He set my feet upon the solid rock. And He gave me a firm foundation on which to stand, and He put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise to my God. That's how much He values you. And it changes our values from being earthly minded to heavenly minded. Because now I want to please Him. I'm not into pleasing me most of the time. But I want to please Him. And so I look toward what is right in God's eyes rather than what is right in my own eyes. It changes our values. Jesus talked about that, about treasures in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. When He said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's your treasure this morning? It is in the, is it in the earthly mind of things, or it is in the heavenly mind of things? It changes our values. Godly hope affects and influences what we do with our lives, with our talents and time and treasures. Back to a quick story about Karen. Again, my apologies, but I was there. She was, as you, many of you know, just an awesome pianist. She was one of these people who could just, you'd put a piece of music in front of her and she would play it like she'd known it for 100 years. And her college professor, her piano professor, a teacher in college, said to her, "The difference in you is that when you play, the Lord is playing through you." This is a guy who we didn't think had a whole lot to do with God, but that's what he saw in her. When she graduated from Baldwin Wallace University, that's that conservatory that's almost as good as Eastman. You can all applaud now. I know where my bread is buttered here, aren't I? But when she graduated from Baldwin Wallace, she started receiving letters from various orchestras. I guess some tapes had been sent out, and they wanted her to audition to be their solo pianist. That's how good she was. And she married down so big time by marrying a drummer. Oh, my gosh. Her parents were almost in grief about that. But she was courted by orchestras to go and see if she would be their solo pianist on tour when they go on tour and they do some pieces involving piano. And to the great dismay of her parents, those who wanted her to be famous, she said no. She said, "I just want to play for Jesus. I just want to play for the Lord." And there's nothing wrong with the other thing, believe me. It's great to be out and to really exercise your gifts and do what you can do with your instrument or your voice and be out there. Because you could be used of the Lord there, anywhere, there too, even in concert halls, of course. But she said, "No, I want to spend my time just doing His music." And that's what she did. And her parents thought it was a big waste. And others thought it was a big waste. And I think the Lord thought it was just really cool. Because she would forsake the material things and the fame to follow what He wanted her to do. And had He, you know, she felt that He told her that that's what He wanted her to do. She had nothing, again, nothing wrong with others who pursue those dreams. That's great. But that's who she was. It affected what she did with her lives, her talents, her time, her treasures, the hope that we find in Jesus Christ instilled in her, that way of living. So Reverend J. Hampton Keithley, who was a Dallas Seminary grad, so he's okay, but he wrote something many years ago. He's an author also, and he wrote, "The Christian life, if grasped according to God's word, is a magnificent obsession with an eternal hope. It gives power to live courageously, to be all God calls us to be in Jesus Christ." Isn't that cool? It's a magnificent obsession with an eternal hope. And it gives power to live courageously, to be all God calls us to be in Christ Jesus. Hope gives rewards. It gives joy and peace. Anybody in here need peace today? That is sure what is lacking in the Christian life, isn't it? We have everything, but we always seem to need peace. There's just so much going on around us. And again, in Romans 15:13, Paul says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him." The God of hope, as you trust in Him, fill you with all joy and peace, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Through godly hope, you can find peace. You can find joy. And joy isn't happiness. Joy is the ability to see the mountaintop when you're in the valley of the shadow. the joy of the Lord being our strength. Hope gives protection. Hope and trust are very closely related words, as are hope and faith. But it reminds me of Proverbs 3, one of my life verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. He will direct your future. He will guide you in the way He wants you to go. When you trust in Him, He will protect that road that He wants you to travel in the future. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Hope gives strength and boldness. From the psalmist again, if I can. Psalm 31, verse 24. Be strong and take heart, you who hope in the Lord. When we hope in the Lord, we can have that strength. We can take heart. We can be courageous in Him. It gives comfort and confidence even in the face of death, in all circumstances. We've used the verse a lot this week from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. We do not grieve as those who have no hope. We grieve as those who have all hope in Jesus Christ, the living hope, the resurrection hope, the inheritance hope that God has given us. And hope depends on knowing and believing God's word. Hope depends on knowing and resting in God's grace. Hope depends on living a life filled with the power of the Spirit. And that's the verse we just read from Romans. The hope that God has for you to make you strong and courageous by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope depends on you to receive that hope and to know the grace that comes with it and to know the rest that comes with it, to know that we believe, even though we haven't seen, we believe in the Lord, in the resurrection, in all He has done and who He is. And in the future we have in Him, the inheritance we have in Him. We haven't seen it, and yet we believe it. Sort of like faith, isn't it? Now, Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Hope and faith and trust all sort of blend together. And that's why Paul says at the end of 1 Corinthians 13, which we read a lot at weddings, he says, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love, because God's love for you makes known the living hope in Jesus Christ, the living resurrection, the living inheritance that He has for you, that you might have the faith that is certain and sure. I just want to encourage you this morning, if you're feeling hopeless, He is the hope. Not the stuff around us, not the toys, not the things that we can do to hopefully feel better for a moment, but the hope that is the living hope is right here in His word and in His love. And I encourage you to take hold of that hope in these crazy times. In this wacko world, in the things that are going on right around you, and sometimes in our own families, sometimes in our workplace, our school, but definitely all around us in the world. This is a time for us to stand courageously, as the scripture says, that we might grab hold of the living hope and the living resurrection and the living inheritance as we look toward an eternity with our God, with Jesus, our Savior and our King. We're going to sing a song in a moment, which when we sing it, you'll say, well, why'd you bother preaching? Because that was what the song was all about. But it's in Christ alone, my hope is found. Team, come on up and let's get ready to sing that. In Christ alone, my hope is found. And I want to share, just leave you with my other life verse from Jeremiah, when God said to the exiles, when He said to the people who were having all sorts of difficulty, He said, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. A couple translations say a hope, and I don't think that's right. It's plans to give you hope, the hope that is absolutely all-encompassing, not one hope, but the hope. Plans to give you hope and a future. He says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Seek the Lord, find the hope, and know that the joy of the Lord is your strength.